Father God, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for this time of fellowship. We thank you for this breakfast. We thank you that you're here with us. And we thank you for all that we have. Blessings on this day for each of my brothers. We thank you in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Andre, you got something over there?
And clean raise.
Well, I just have a couple of, my fail-safe is to go back to Proverbs, and it always encourages us to, the difference between living a righteous life and living a wicked life, and both have its consequences, and I like the consequences for living a righteous life and living a wicked life, and it is continually helped me to just have a better attitude overall. When I was in a nursing home yesterday, and you think, well, what am I doing here? And of course, there's certain people to visit, certain people to encourage. And this one lady, Betty Jane, she's been visiting her for over 3 years, and she's prone to depression, prone to discouragement, prone to anxiety, picking yourself bloody. And so I always really try to visit her. I try to bring her gifts also too. And not yesterday, but the week before, she was on suicide watch. And I just happened to bring in fantail shrimp for her. Now, if I brought fantail shrimp to you, you'd smile, right? Well, the interesting part is that the simplest of things can help people out of their depression or, where they're going with their life. Because, you sit day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, your own kids don't come to visit you, nobody comes to visit you, only this guy, Chaplain Andre, comes to visit you. And like yesterday, she says, thank you for coming. What does that mean, really? Thank you for coming. And every one of us could go visit somebody. Somehow, some way, just take a little time out and visit somebody. And if you can, take them out to lunch or dinner, whatever, cost you $10, $20, whatever. You are changing a life. And you're changing a vision that somebody actually cares. And in the 2 Timothy chapter 3, it gives those 19, 20 characteristics of the perilous times that we would be living in. And it lists all these characteristics, and one of them is unthankfulness. And it's interesting that I went to a Rosh Hashanah celebration, and in that celebration, the rabbi said, what a key to be thankful, just to be thankful. And it's one of the characteristics that this world would be in before the Lord's coming would be unthankfulness. So what is he saying? He's saying, be thankful. Be thankful for what? Listen, we're sitting around a table. You go visit somebody who's not sitting around a table or is laying in a bed. The Word of God says, go and visit those who are in prison. And you never think that a prison can be a bed or a wheelchair until you go and you see for yourself. I was having a conversation with this two ladies last night, and I had a friend of mine who was texting me that I was sharing a conversation between all of us. And the one lady is 91 years old. She has traveled the world as a dancer, like ballet. And then the other lady has just given up on life. when really it was dead in her bed. Well, because I was sharing this, you know, four people conversation, she came alive. She was talking, laughing. I've never seen that before. And I visited her for, you know, maybe over a year. But she quit living. And any one of us who quit living will be in that state. The sleep becomes a friend. And, you know, what happens along with sleep is there's no hope, there's depression. And, you know, this proverb here, it's 11, verse 30. The godly are like trees that bear life-giving fruit, and those who save lives are wise. And so it talks about, you know, King James talks about probably, if you want to read that, Fritz, 11:30.
The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he who gives
souls is wise. And, you know, the Baptists love using that, you know, to get you out and to...
Say that again. Read that again.
The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he who wins souls is wise.
So they always want you to go out and win souls. And you know, I've been taught that for decades. But you know what? I think more important is go and make disciples. Now, making disciples takes time and investment. And it's going to cost you. My old pastor, who was probably the most godliest man I ever knew in my life, he says, you know what? It's going to cost you your time, your talent, and your treasure to make disciples. Now, in a selfish world, like 2 Timothy talks about, there'd be lovers of self rather than lovers of God. Okay? So, what's the battle then? Is to just, you know, labor in that sense to love people wherever they're at, no matter what is going on. Because why would the command really to walk 2 miles with somebody to carry their bag back in the Roman days? Under penalty of death, you were commanded by the Roman government to carry a soldier's bag for a mile. And yet what came through the word? Carry it too. Why? Because you know you're headed for heaven, and that man, you might just have an opportunity to share the gospel that he might go to heaven also. So we have to buy up these opportunities to win souls, but really make disciples. Because what is a disciple going to do? A disciple is going to go and disciple somebody else. Really is. You know, people have accused me number of different people. Don't you ever talk about anything else? And I said, well, what else is there?
Exactly.
I mean, I could talk about football and I know how to throw it, but don't ask me any statistics. I mean, I could talk about baseball and I know how to throw a baseball, I know how to catch a ball, and I know how to pitch, and I know how to throw a fastball. But that don't win me to heaven, you know? I like soccer and it's amazing, but you know, and I prefer ping pong, I'm sorry, you know? Ping pong is great. But using all those things to reach people wherever they're at is the key. And this is what I found as a chaplain going in from room to room. You know, every room is so different. You can't, nothing's the same. People are different. And that's what, so in this version or this statement from Proverbs 11, the godly are like trees that bear life-giving fruit. Life-giving fruit is what people need.
Now, I just finished listening to, I don't know if I shared this last week, there's a magazine called Outreach, which they provide a lot of literature, pamphlets, flyers, whatever, to churches or whatever. They have an event or whatever, you know. And the conference, the people that were there, those pastors, they were had the largest churches in America and all of that. And one of the things that they have discovered, and they've come to a realization, is the fact that they're really, they're growing numbers, but are they growing disciples? Because a lot of times people want to go, they want to hear, they put their ears to go, they leave. And people are not being taught how to lead people or how to minister with the word or to build those relationships, you know. So, and so there's a big movement now about the churches and even the churches coming together. There's a group of guys here in the city, some of the bigger churches, they're going to have another event over at the Mojave. And there are like four, five, six churches that are going to actually close their churches that Sunday, and they're all going to go to the Mojave and to come together, you know, as a body. And I was at a pastor's meeting with SEMA, which is a Spanish church, pastors and all that, and I was telling them about it and encouraging them, but you know, people are so territorial, and so because they're territorial, they don't want to, they don't connect with other folks, and because if you're not either Southern Baptist or tradition of that, they're not going to play with you. Church of God, I'm telling you right now, I got to be bold with that with those people, because they're not, they're all about that. Being mine, you know, and they don't really come across these denominational lines. Heaven forbid if you ever try to go into one of their meetings, when they have those pastoral meetings and all that, it's all closed sessions that only invite people in. And you know, stuff like that, and they're not alone. You know, some of the other people are the same way. So how in the world are you going to follow that principle of what you're talking about right there about fellowship and bringing together? And you know, that was the one thing that we liked about the Promise Keepers, because it was a non-denominational ministry across the denominational line. And one of the things that they teach you, when you talk about the denomination, you talk about God, you know, and bring the people together. And I think we need more of that. You know, we need more of that. And so you had a common thing. Like many of those people that have been to those conferences and all that. Oh, you're a PK? You have a commonality. Something that's common to talk about, you know? It's just like if you like cars. So you got something in common with other people that like cars. So, but you know, so you go, and some people don't have that common interest. Well, the common interest should be the Lord. You know, the common interest, and you know, how much can you talk about that? Well, you know, we went out and did this, we went out and did that, you know, I mean, we talked about the things that we've done in the past, you know, and that brought a lot of people together, you know, working together. So, again, it's common. All brings you together, you know.
At the Omega Center up in Cleveland, and that Cleveland, of course, is Cleveland, Tennessee, is a basis for the Church of God of Cleveland. But there, that's where it's different. You see up there, the Omega Center is part of Voice of Evangelism. But it's not.
No, that's
right. There is a product originally of the Church of God. Yes.
With one here.
So it's
right. Okay. One here, too.
But the Omega Center, it's like all of the people from the different churches get together. They don't have a Sunday service because they're either having conferences or they're out of town. So they have this Sunday service on Tuesday night. And so these people that are part of the Omega Center, all go to different churches around the Cleveland area. And if they all get together on Tuesday night, and you know what the drawing factor started on that was? The youth. They started coming with their kids. me and this group about over 400 kids up there from all the different churches and even from Lee University. Right? And the one factor that brings them all together is not denominational tenet. It's praising God. Praise and worship. We'll have a guest speaker. Sometimes it's Terry or Robbie, but other times they'll have guest speakers from even out of town. Imagine on a Tuesday night, 750, 800 people on a Tuesday night. They fill the small auditorium, and half of them are under the age of 20. There's a factor right there that brings them in. The parents come with them.
That's strong.
It is. It is. And I mean, it's happening in other parts of the country. That compares it. We need another big factor. It has to be, you know, like a group of can't be this denomination or that denomination. It's got to cross all those borders.
Yeah. This right here is a detriment to that there are more people today that are lonely. And they don't have no
connection
to this.
Welcome, Romeo.
Today, people don't know how to talk. All they want to do is text you, text this, text that. You know, I don't have to text it. I say, you know, I like to hear a voice, man. I like to hear the talk to somebody on the phone.
Hard to convey a public, you know, a feeling through one or two words or sure, a couple of sentences.
You know, somebody made somebody
unless
made
you have a flip phone, you only get
a little hard, a little smile.
Somebody made a comment, you know, talk about in the Bible that there'll be the bargain beast in your hand, that you're going to need the chip in order to get the thing. Well, what is it, apple? It's an apple that it's already fermented in grocery stores. You go in there, you go like that, you go in, you buy whatever you want, and you just go out the door.
They're beyond that.
You know?
What about the apple
little
watch?
Little tiny part of it.
But the chip is this. They go over there with their phone, they go like this.
Watch is the same thing, that apple watch.
Yeah, that apple watch. Yeah. So here's a chip right here. And you go like that, you go to the grocery store, but that's it, you don't need nobody, you just go up to the
Apple's taking that another step. They're working with a chip you can wear on the side of your head. And on your top of the side of your head, you can look straight to the internet. You don't need a phone or a
deal, baby.
Well, you got to care. Because then,
They can scan your brain.
Well, they can, but think of the aspect that they could feed you negative, anti-Christian, whatever they want to feed you, they could feed you. Subliminal. You wouldn't even know you're getting it, really.
Well, that's what the word said's going to happen.
They need to eat KG just with the watch.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, they can feed you.
Oh, yeah.
They're vital signs.
Yeah. But with that brain one, they can feed you. It's like Wi-Fi training your brain from wherever you're at, right here.
I don't know how technology, but they can probably read your EKG with this, too.
They already have a chip. It's in a tiny little, like, a capsule. And they're trying to talk parents into having this injected into the babies when they're born. They're selling it under the guise of just like your pet. If your pet sloths, you can find it.
Yeah.
Well, if your kid comes up missing and you can't find it, you know, that's how they're talking the parents into it, but it's all part of it.
And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, that one also, they would be able to get each child's medical history on that same kid. Well, there's more than enough room for the medical history and the GPS and anything else they want to put on there. These little chips, they're as big as the computers we used to have on our desk 10 years ago.
No.
In memory stuff, it's amazing what AI is doing. In a way, it's scary.
What do
you guys think of Apple's logo? The bite out of the apple.
Oh, I never even thought about it.
That's where it started. Forgetting fruit. I just, every time I see it on somebody's computer,
I had a state trooper one time slowing down coming across the Bayside Bridge.
You hear what Joe?
Pulling us over. I wasn't paying attention to the speed. I was just Sunday morning about him come on. And he goes, well, okay. He said, just consider this your bite of
tomorrow. Mark, we're having another conversation.
Consider this your bite of the apple. And he let me know it's just a warning.
Now, Joe said that Apple just started another division, and they call it an E.
Oh, really?
So, there you go.
What was that?
Apple's starting another division, and they're calling it E.
Oh, really?
I think I heard that.
So that proves right there was no accident that they picked that for the logo. Still, it's a wonderful life. You know what God gave us every day is a gift. Now, if you don't treat every day as a gift, where are you gonna go? You're gonna get grumpy, bumpy, and ain't nobody gonna like you. So enjoy the gift.
Thank you for it every day.
That's it. I'm gonna sing a song to you guys. We have heard the joyful sound. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Spread these tidings all around. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Bear the news to every land. Okay, missionaries, get going. Climb the steeps and cross the waves. Onward tis our Lord's command. Jesus saved, Jesus saved. Now you think about these people who wrote these hymns 100 years ago. Now they had no real books. I mean, really, books really came into being 100, 150 years ago. And if you had a book, you were wealthy. I mean, think about the Gospel and even the Old Testament and New Testament. Nobody had copies. You didn't have a copy. How did you remember these things? And they were remembered through hymns. I got to see a hymn that was written on the old black Gospel hymns. Now, you need an interpreter to read the words, because, you know, if you haven't been in black culture, the words are different. You're like, are they talking English? Well, even more so 150 years ago. And I thought, you know, and what are they singing about? They're singing about God delivering them as they are involved in slavery. And what a, you know, if you were a slave, could you start singing? You know, when Joseph was in prison?
Yeah.
Would you? Well, how about Paul and Silas down in the stocks?
Yeah.
Singing.
Yeah.
What do we usually do?
Oh, Lord, Lord,
well, complaining, you know. Yeah, singing a dirge. And so we have this good news, and we can carry it on. The last verse in this song: give the winds a mighty voice. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Let the nations now rejoice. Now, think about, I mean, the word is going out everywhere because of the revived power of God, the internet. I mean, there is information everywhere, in every language, in every place. So the expectation, you know, the Feast of Tabernacles is coming. And my expectation is the Lord is going to come back during that holiday. Why? You know, God has commanded the people to live in a booth with no roof. And of course, we talk about the rapture of the church, right? I mean, this ceiling is not going to stop the rapture from happening. We'll go right through it. Jesus proved it when he came into the upper room where the doors were locked. But the Feast of Booths is a celebration that we should, again, be thankful for what we do have. Because the booth, what they were commanded by God, I think it was Leviticus 23, in that area. And it was to be made out of junk, so that you wouldn't be impressed with what building you are in. Now today, of course, they got bamboo, they got lights, they got, barbecues. I mean, my father was actually a carpenter building movable roofs in a house, so they wouldn't have to leave the house. The roof would just open up so they can fulfill scripture that they would live in a a building with no roof. And leave it to the Jewish people to do something like that. Well, the interesting part is that always to be thankful. Thankful, thankful, thankful. I mean, we sing the song, give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because he's given Jesus Christ, his Son. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because he's given Jesus Christ, his Son. And now let the weak say I am strong. Let the poor say I am rich because of what the Lord has done for us. Give thanks.
I love that song. Every time I sang that song, I tuned my mind.
Yeah. So, I think that's, and we can carry that into every day. Even the bad day, even the hard day. Because God holds the mysteries anyway. And our problem, I think, we're finite in the sense of where we live today, and we try to understand the infinite. It's not even fair. Why? How many whys did they ask in your life? Forget it. Just enjoy the day. Carpe diem. Tony Campola message 35, 6, 7 years ago. Carpe diem. Seize the day. Enjoy the day.
I remember when that came out.
Yeah, we're working for
Bridge. You got something over there?
I'm just thinking about Survivor. And they were temporary booths. And that was, when they were from the Egyptians, it was something that was done in haste, and it was one of the remembrances of that event also. And what God is basically saying is be prepared. Everything has the way that he seems to work throughout everything. There are some Christians right now, we might want to pray for them too. Syria right now. You've heard of the Kurds? Well, there's two different Kurds here. There's the authoritarian Kurds, the communist type, or socialist type Kurds. And they're the ones actually that were fighting with ISIS. Okay, so here we are, yoked to a very bad group of people, actually. But into serving our purposes, because we were fighting ISIS with them. So now that we're pulled out of there, or saying we're pulling out of there, the country of Turkey, which is
very barbaric type of thing. My dad, when he was in the service, told me they were really cutthroat back even in his day when he was over there. That country began to bomb this group of not so nice guys that we were allied with also. For which Turkey is part of NATO, which is part of our group. The problem also is what's taking place. They're bombing these cities and they're killing these civilians. They're not telling you this is a Christian community there. Okay? So these Christians are going to be genocide. There's no doubt about it. You know, so here we talk about Sukkot. Be ready to flee, you know? And there are going to be organizations that are going to provide ways for these people to leave that area. The only problem is the Revelation churches are all out of Turkey, you know, and they don't want that area. So you've got a heritage of Christians that are in this whole area. So when they come through there, they're going to wipe, like ISIS, they're going to wipe everything out for whomever. And all your old memorials, you know, the early Christian, all of that's going to be wiped out.
Coptic Christians.
But we need to keep these people in prayer, these Christians that are, because they don't want to leave behind. They've been there for 2,000 years. You know, part of the original church started in these areas. You know? It's something that doesn't make the news. You know? Because people think, you know, the Kurds are the good guys. Well, yeah, the Kurds in the other country, they're the good guys, not the ones that are in Syria.
No, the ones in Syria are our allies. The ones in Turkey are the ones that Turkey doesn't want. Right. Now they're coming after the ones across the border.
Right, there's two groups of Kurds. One is the one that's the authoritarian socialist. And that's the ones that we were with. We backed away from the other ones during the Bush administration and stuff. They were, a lot of them were slaughtered when that happened. There were two different groups of them. And
the SDF is the one we're abandoning right now in Syria. And they're the ones that are holding 12,000 ISIS prisoners.
Right.
And we're walking away from them, and they're not going to be able to hold them all by
themselves. They said that they have to pull all of the militia from guarding the ISIS guys to the front because they're being bombarded and attacked.
And that's what they're saying. Ancient some of our soldiers that were on the internet last night, what you guys said. All of my years in the military, said this is my first time. I'm totally ashamed to be in America.
So you got a lot of work to put 1,000 ISIS bad guys and a couple of very, very, very bad ones, like a handful of dozen, 30 dozen, all penned in with one guard or something. You know they're gonna get out and get right back to work.
70,000 counts the wives and the kids and everything, but there's 12,000 soldiers in the prisons, in seven prisons. But something happened last night.
There's two different groups of Kurds, and there's one that they're giving up to slaughter, and there's another group that's the authoritarian ones. And that's the ones that they actually been helping us with. But now that threat's gone, guess what rises up? You know the friend of mine. A friend of mine. Friend of my nephew.
How's it going? I'm trying to figure it out. You started off tonight.
The enemy of my friend.
The enemy of my friend. It's my enemy.
No.
And that's the way it used to go. The enemy of my friend is my enemy. Because if the enemy of your friend was your friend, your friend wouldn't be your friend.
I think the same you're trying to think of is the enemy of my enemy is my friend.
He says the enemy of my friend
is my enemy.
You're not necessarily automatically a friend.
A lot of words.
And I always add to it, until you conquer the enemy.
Right. And then it all changes. That's the Middle Eastern way. Always had.
I haven't heard where it's come from yet. But sitting across the border turned into Bob yesterday. And I'm praying that whoever's sending it keeps on chewing it until the United States gets straightened out and realizes that they can't just walk away.
It's not the United States. All of our military commanders told Trump he's an idiot. I mean, that's pretty bold when you tell the President of the United States you're an idiot, because...
But the point is here is that there's a Christian community embedded in the middle of all that that are being genocided, slaughtered, and left to their own. Then they won't be exterminated.
Yeah.
So you'll find groups that will be raising up to sponsor people to pull them out, and relocate them in another country.
This is a friend of mine, pastor of the Word of Life. On 54 over there, and so
Word of Life.
So he said he's gonna give us a dissertation of.
So tell me, where is 54th over there?
Well, in Kansas City, remember the Word of Life Church of 54?
Yeah, that used to be
Spanish.
We need to get him some eggs.
Eggs.
Beat him.
Get some chicken, yeah. Get some eggs, at least some eggs, yeah.
Missing points. He's missing the point.
He doesn't eat much.
You don't need much?
Yeah. Sam?
Yes, sir.
Jeremy from the bookstore was going to be here this morning, but somebody's car broke down, so he didn't make it. So he's asking for prayer, because today he has the price editing in there to be ready for tomorrow.
Are they opening tomorrow?
They're opening tomorrow, but they're not going to be fully open. Their grand opening is next Saturday.
Okay.
But the bakery next door is opening today.
The bakery?
The bakery is opening. So what they're doing is they're going to be open limited hours, and basically call the number and find out if they're open.
All right, good.
But they'll be open tomorrow.
Good.
Where's
the address? What's the address?
4505.
On Park Boulevard.
The bookstore there. Remember the one that closed down?
Is it that building?
The Empowered Life bookstore? The one that closed down, these people work there. And they're opening up a Christian bookstore at
4505. You know where the old Wendy's used to be? Knocked that lot down?
Yeah.
Across the street. And you're coming this way, you have to make a U-turn and come back in a little...
They got a lot of books over there, buddy. They got a lot of stuff over there. The place is not as big as it was, you know, but...
They got it packed in.
So it's a good place. Literature, books, Bibles, whatever. They're good people. Amen.
Not the same side of the street.
No, across the street. Across the street, yeah. Where the FedEx is.
Yeah.
There's a place that the FedEx was stepping right there. Yeah. Amen. So anyway, going back to that conversation.
Oh, I see you're just talking about the situation over there.
Yeah. But again, going back to what you were discussing about, again, you know, when you go to these places, like nursing homes and stuff like that, and you know, all those people that are alone, you know, the kids are abandoned and all that. But you know what? We go right back into the old song, all the lonely people, where they all come from. And again, as much technology that we have today, but we still have more people that are lonely because they don't have those relationships or those commonality. If you're working in cars, you got a whole gang of people because they love cars, they love the muscle cars, they love antique cars. If you're working in some kind of hobbies or whatever it is, you have that through baseball, football, whatever. You got all that common people that have the same thought. You know, I mean, how many people write, hey, did they win last night? Oh my God.
We're not in the World Series again.
They're not? They lost it, right?
Yeah, New York's going to win the World Series
again.
Again.
So when you have those common things, you know, you have that, there's that bond.
Lightning once.
And the reality is what we need, and what we have is a common thing, is the Word of God. And those relationships and all that, you know, that's why we gather, that's why we get up at 6 in the morning, and we build those relationships. And that should be always across denominational lines, you know, not who church, whatever. That's what I love about this group, because everybody goes somewhere else. You know, they come here, and because we have that one thing that's in common, that's the Word, you know. That's what I love about this.
I read some place where 80% of the people in the nursing homes don't get visits from family. And when you look at what happened to the families in this country over the last 50 years or so, we become nomadic. I mean, look, we've got areas like here that draws all retirees.
Yeah.
So the old people are here, and the families 2,000 miles away.
Yeah.
You know, and the family, I mean, when I was growing up, in my house, a grandmother lived with us. The whole family was right there in that area.
Yeah.
Grandma lived with us, and my uncle and him were, you know, like within a mile. You don't have that anymore.
No.
Everybody goes their own way, and well, I can't get there because I'm too busy working. I can't get on a plane to fly 2,000 miles.
Right.
So mom and dad sits in the nursing home and just,
I remember, you know, growing up in Chicago, in the neighborhood I lived in, if I wasn't one in the neighborhood and I did something wrong, well, on my way down, people knew me, knew my parents, and if I didn't get it from them, then by the time I got home, my parents knew the same messed up over there. And so there was that community, you know, like the Hispanic community that when we moved into Chicago, they had an organization of Caballero San Juan, St. John's, and all those organizations to bring the commonality, you know, the culture, whatever, you came together. And so you build those communities. And like you say, we moved, a lot of people moved here. And, you know, all your friends are out there, you know, so you don't have that commonality, that relationship. And that's why it's important that the body of Christ does come together. We're here for a reason, and we're here because of that, because of the relationship, and that God has put us together, you know, so that's why we're here. Otherwise, you know, go stay in bed or whatever, go to work, you know, so.
Gone are the days when the village raised the child.
That's right.
And I was growing up, the outskirts of Holyoke, Massachusetts. I mean, even the policemen were my friend's dads.
Yeah.
I got myself in the world. I got this from him, and then he took me home, and I got that from my father. I knew I was going to get it both ways. I knew I was going to get it from both ends. So, you know, you respect that stuff.
That's why when we were growing up, most of us had these long ears because our other people fell, or, you know, like that.
Well, they used to call it, now they call it, you know, it takes a village.
Right.
Yeah, well, the village is failing now or whatever because all the people can't get, don't touch my kid.
I know.
My day, if I did something wrong, I got it from the teacher, I got it from the assistant principal, I got smacked around by the neighborhood parents or whatever like that, and my dad or mom was waiting for me when the car or bus pulled up. So you got it from everybody. So you learned it one or two times.
One or two times, that's
and that's all it took. But nowadays, you touch them with kids, you know, I mean, teachers are getting assaulted in the classroom. They can't do anything, because if they touch the kid, then they fire the teacher and bring him up on camera.
My brother-in-law in Tennessee, when he was young, he did something, I don't know if he stole something or whatever, and the police came and they arrested him. And they put him in the handcuffs, the whole nine yards, and this day, he'll tell you it's the best thing that ever happened to him.
If you look in the news today, the same thing happened recently, and the cops are being
In my hometown, they used to take you could be in a cell by yourself for 8 hour, drunk and everybody else. You're by yourself until your parents came down to get you. And all it took was that 2 or 3 hours in there.
Hey, darling.
Care to death a lot.
My daughter works as a psychologist in school. And there's this one kid that is pushing everybody, being very disruptive and all that. And so they have to call the people. You know, they have to call the parents. Oh, my kid's okay. He doesn't do nothing wrong. Why are you picking on him? You know, and he's picking his kid.
There's no change to that. I'm all of a choice.
Yeah, you want to take care of it.
Well, one of the things that causes a lot of the problems is the fact that we don't have the community. Because now if a kid gets in trouble and they do arrest them, it's going to have a permanent record. Okay, it's going to be, because now it's the government, you know, it's like, we don't have a community, okay? When we had communities, kid did something wrong, the police came in, put him in handcuffs, took him down to the jail, and taught him a lesson. But nowadays, the police come in there, they don't care about the child, they don't care about the one that got abused, they're just doing their job, okay?
It's sad, but the truth is that until they're over 16, the records don't get expunged. They don't get closed.
So they have a grade, and then
up till then, they're not accountable. I don't know, my child wouldn't do that. You know,
in society, the record can run today, and they end up with the attitude.
I'm just going to get
nothing anyway, so when is it?
Franklin? He's on tour in January. He's going to be in Plant City and then in Fort Myers. But November 7th in Plant City is in Gatewall.
Can you give us some information, a flyer or something like that, so that we can pass it around?
Yeah,
we can do that. Hey, Elsie, as long as you're up, why don't you close us a prayer, bro?
All right. Father, we just thank you that we can gather in the greatest name that's ever been spoken. That's the name of Jesus, Lord. And we all go forth, may we all be wise, as the proverb says, and win souls. That's the only purpose that you saved us, Lord, so we could be witnesses for others. We just thank you for opening doors of opportunity. And we just thank you for this reason. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
So you busy middle shop? What's your name?
Robert and words.
Yeah, give us that information right out of paper so that way we can pass it around. I'll let you go to that.
I'll stop by probably lunch. And I'll see if you're busy. I'll hang if not.
Is it over there?
Yeah.
Up in the car.
Yeah.
Can you bring some here?
Then I
think that's the same.
But I don't want to make it like a stop.
So anybody can come next week, I'll bring an envelope. We'll see if we can bless Sam for his trip. Okay? Yeah, that'll be good.
You know, I was going to bring a topic this week, but I like the